Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the largest segment of society, to those who know that the world's political, religious, and economic institutions are corrupt and that they are counterproductive, that they cannot be fixed. Yes, the most recent Gallup poll shows that between 70 and 90% of Americans now know that their government is counterproductive, that it cannot be trusted. They know that their economic institutions are counterproductive, that they cannot be trusted. They even know that their religious institutions, at least 55% of Americans, recognize that organized religion, especially the church, is lying to them. If you'd like to participate in this discussion and understand why, we're encouraging you to call toll-free 877-300-7645. We will today in our second hour do sports and the news, so we'll begin the first hour with a review of the news, of the general news of the day. Last week, on Thursday, I believe, we used the opening hour to talk about the difference between Israelis and Muslims and how stark the contrast is. And the Muslim world, Amma, will stick with a picture of her son, showing it for photographers, mourning only for the sense of political and religious agendas. I shouldn't say only, but certainly being used by the media to present a political and religious perspective. Always jump to conclusions, always contending without evidence, always reacting with fury, rage, always rioting, with the government always celebrating rather than condemning the attacks. A friend wrote me that in what's called a war of words on CNN, that a Palestinian legal advisor, as if there was such a thing as a Palestinian, and as if Muslims were law-abiding, refused even to be on the same screen as any representative of the Israeli government. Wouldn't even be shown in the same picture. One of the CNN hosts began by asking her, aren't you sending the wrong message? Shouldn't peace begin by talking? And aren't you sending the wrong message by saying, no, I'm not even going to appear on a talk segment? She responded with, peace begins when Israel acknowledges that I have rights and that I have rights as a Palestinian. Why would peace begin when Israel acknowledges that you're living a lie? It's a good question. Since there is no such thing as a Palestinian, since there hasn't been a Philistine in 2,500 years, since you're living a lie, why is peace begin with the world acknowledging, Israel in particular, acknowledging your lie? Talk about rights. Muslims in Israel have more rights than Jews do in any Islamic country. So if this is an issue of fairness, if this is about acknowledging the rights of individuals, then why are Jews given far less rights in Islamic countries than Muslims are in Israel? Why don't you look in the mirror, little girl, before you cast aspersions? In fact, it would be fair to say that Muslims in Israel have more rights in terms of the right to education, the right to legal due process, the right to vote in a legitimate election, the right to medical care, the right to an actual education, the right to own property and a business and to develop those things than do any Muslims in any Islamic countries. I mean, it's just so absurdly hypocritical, so absurdly ignorant, so absurdly irrational for a Muslim in Israel to say that Israel is ignoring or depriving them of rights, when in fact Israel provides more rights to Muslims in Israel than does any Islamic country provide rights to Muslims, much less denying all rights to Jews. And why is it that in a situation like this, CNN can't point that out? Can't ask her those questions? Can't discuss that issue openly? It's obvious. This went on to say, if it's just a question of talking, of sitting down in the same room, but the fact that Israel has denied the freedoms to millions of Palestinians for decades, now, and the fact that they have been held to no standard of accountability by every government around the world, you can't just put people in a room and expect there's somehow going to be a peace unless you actually address the online causes in this case. The fact that Palestinians have been denied their freedom for decades, and that there's no end, this says now end, no end to this denial of freedoms. Bull. All of it. This is the problem of religion and politics. I can't say for sure whether this woman, who is supposed to be a legal advisor to a mythical people known as the Palestinians, is just a moron, incapable of rational thought, that she's just stupid, or that she is the product of a consistent bombardment of religious and political indoctrination, so that she has just become a ploy for Islam, a pawn of Islam. I can't tell you which one of the two. That she actually, at one time in her life, had the capacity to be intelligent and has now lost it after a life of brainwashing, of propaganda. Or if she was born with a deficiency, that she's just mentally retarded. Don't know. I'm going to assume that she's not mentally retarded, that the answer is that she's been brainwashed to the point that she can no longer think. And if that's the case, then she should not be interviewed by the media. You should preclude people from promoting lies. The Israelis have not denied freedoms for the Arab Muslims living in Israel. And when the Arab Muslims in the West Bank in Gaza were part of Jordan and Egypt prior to the Six Days War, they were afforded less rights than they are now. But you didn't see the world rising up or idiots like this claiming to have their rights deprived by Jordan, which still is a tyranny of the minority over the majority, or in Egypt, which is a military junta, which doesn't afford anybody any rights politically or religiously. You don't hear the world rising up and saying, you know, Egypt, when it controlled Gaza, was infinitely worse. And when Jordan controlled the West Bank, they were infinitely worse. You know, the fact is that these people who are masquerading as Palestinians, and the last Philistine was wiped off the face of this earth 2,500 years ago, that these people who are living a lie, whose identity, whose very identity is a lie, are hated even by their fellow Muslims. That's why they're treated so poorly, and why they're not allowed to lead refugee camps in Lebanon, in Syria, in Jordan. They hate them. They think they're arrogant. They think that they're crybabies. They're despised. The only reason that their cause is trumpeted is because it is anti-Israel and because it is pro-Islam. Otherwise, even the Muslim world would completely reject them. They don't work. They don't contribute to society. They're a net negative. They're dependent on handouts from the rest of the world, and they're prone to terrorist acts. They celebrate murder. They indoctrinate their children to hate. That's the truth. And so when you have CNN try to interview a, quote, Palestinian legal advisor, and everything she says is a lie, and her pretext to peace is to accept her lies as if they were true, what hope is there? Why does the world still pursue a Palestinian state as a solution when you're dealing with their legal advisors that are this jaundiced, this misinformed, where they're advocating the opposite of what is true? There is only one reason why the intifadas were called by the ugly one, Yasser Arafat, the homosexual leader of the Islamic terrorist organization called the PLO. There's only one reason. And that is because it was an absolute insult to Islam. That when the world came to recognize that Israel gave full citizenship to Muslims living in Israel, that Israel gave them the rights to the same education, the rights to the same status politically, the ability to vote for whomever they wished, access to the same healthcare system, the ability to own land, to engage in business transactions. When the world recognized that the Muslims who were living in Israel were the most prosperous, healthiest, freest, best educated Muslims in the world, then it made Islam look like it really is. A legacy of a horrible lie, of a call back to the 7th century. And they rebelled against that. The dateline is Jerusalem. This is sad news. Israel reckoned that with rising homegrown extremism Sunday, as it arrested 6 Jewish suspects who are believed to have burned to death an Arab teenager in revenge for killing 3 Israeli teens. Now, part of this is true. Israel did have to confront the fact that the evidence seems to indicate that it was 6 Jewish Israelis. And the reason you have to use Jewish Israelis is because there are Arab Muslim Israelis. They offer full citizenship to Arab Muslims who want to destroy them. But it appears that it was, at least the evidence so far indicates that it was 6 Jews who have believed that they killed Muhammad. Now, the idea that they burned him to death, that is not confirmed. He appeared to have some ash in his trachea, which could be a result of him breathing in. It could also be a result of his mouth being open when after his death and his body was burned and some of the ash fell into his trachea. That does not mean that he was burned to death. And this says in revenge for the killings of 3 Israeli teens. The arrest shocked those on both sides of the Israeli-Palestinian divide. Palestinians, because they had assumed that Israel would never act against its own, which is just unbelievably stupid. Israel does all the time. Anytime there is an act of violence, a crime committed in Israel, Jews always investigate the crime, and the criminal is brought through the judicial system. It happens all the time. There has been no exception. There is not a single case where Jews said, you know, we don't want to investigate this because it's one of our own. We're going to protect them. Never once. And so the Palestinian assumption is based on a complete disregard for history and for truth, for reality. But, you know, the name Palestinian is based on a total and complete disregard for truth, for reality, for history. So we shouldn't be surprised on that side. And the Israelis, because there had been widespread doubt that Jews could have carried out such a heinous crime. And the murder of an innocent 15-year-old boy. Mostly innocent 15-year-old boy. Is indeed something that just isn't in the Jewish psyche, not the average Jew. That's not to say that Jews are perfect people. If you, boy, you read the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, and you get the distinct impression that Yahweh is not pleased with the behavior of Jews. So we should not think for a moment that Jews are somehow better behaved than the rest of the world. It's just that they're experienced through the two Roman wars against them, and then through being slaves throughout Europe, and then through the Holocaust, is that the Jews are far more tolerant of wrongs done to them and are far less likely to wrong an innocent person than any other race in the world. Doesn't mean that they're perfect. And in this case, there's six of them that made a horrible decision. Now, I do want to put this in perspective, and I did say on two different programs last week that I would have given the odds of 75-25, that with the killing of a innocent young person, that 75% of the time when this happens, it's typically a Muslim that is sacrificing one of their own to make it look like someone else did it to rally support for their cause. They do it all the time. Most of the time when this occurs, it's a Muslim killing a Muslim for political gain and to make it look like someone else. In this case, it was the 25%, not the 75%, which is, by the way, why I didn't jump to the conclusion. I just said, here are the odds. We don't know the outcome of the investigation. Now we know the outcome of the investigation. It was the 25%, not the 75%. There are two things I want to share about this before we continue with the story. The first is that there is a limit to how much most people are willing to take in terms of sanctioned abuse against them, sanctioned murder of their brethren before they respond. And when they respond, the one thing you don't want to do is, if they have constantly been the victim, is to create a moral equivalency. I'm saddened by the death of the young man. I think he's a 15-year-old Muslim boy. Because he was not killed as a result of engaging in an act of terrorism against anyone. He was picked up on his way home from Friday prayers at the mosque, which means that his life was ruined, that there was no hope that he was ever going to have a productive life. Islam is that corrosive. If you're a 15-year-old and you're going to Friday prayers, I'm sorry, but there's no hope for you. Islam is literally that corrosive, that malignant. Maybe this boy was somehow distancing himself, temporarily at least, from the only legitimate manifestation of Islam, which is jihad and terrorism. Perhaps he's one of the many that were engaged in the riots and protests that are taking place all over Israel. I don't know, but based on what we do know, it was an innocent life that was taken. That's sad. It's also sad that by doing so, the Jews who sought revenge, and this is a an important aspect of this story, is how many times, in how many ways, can a people, a religion, a political manifestation, torment those you love, those you care about? There have been four teenagers, Jewish teenagers, that have been kidnapped and murdered in the last month by Arab Muslims in Israel. And Arab Muslims in Israel celebrate those kidnappings and murders. They encourage more of them. And there are rockets being fired into civilian areas of Israel, all to kill innocent people, celebrating the death of Israelis, all with religious zeal. And how long do you take that before you respond? Now, there is no justification for responding by killing an innocent bystander. But, you know, Jews have long been criticized in the Holocaust for not standing up to the Nazis. Now, I mean, they had no weapons, and there is no chance that they would have prevailed in standing up to them. But, you know, it is a question as to why so many went went at gunpoint and didn't constantly, when they got off those trains, attempt to storm and kill the Nazis. Yeah, it's possible that in each time that they would have done so, that they might have killed three or four Nazis and had the rest of them slaughtered, but the rest of them were going to be slaughtered anyway, to make it difficult for the Nazis to take them to the concentration camps. But if you look at Serbia, for example, if you take the Serbian response to the Muslims that they have killed, out of context, you'd say, oh, wow, you know, this is genocide against a people. But if you put it in perspective, just as recently as World War II, the Muslims and Bosnian Muslims in Serbia established concentration camps and killed 800,000 Christian Serbs. And so when you witness that and you continue to hear the claims that Muslims have a right to kill and are honored when they kill Christians, you know, eventually you're going to respond. You know, in the situation in Egypt with the Muslims raping, kidnapping, murdering Copt Christians and burning down all of their churches, thus far the Christians, the Copts, have not responded. It's almost as if they want to be martyrs. But you look at Nigeria with Boko Haram. There are people who are called the anti-machete that try to provide some protection from Boko Haram. And the Central African Republic, Muslims became so murderous that the civilians took it upon themselves to go after Muslims. There is a time when people will bow their back and say, too much already. Now, the world's not fair when it comes to Israel. If criminals do a stupid thing and they kill an innocent Muslim, and Muslims kill four Jewish teenagers, you know, there's a girl, beautiful girl, who was kidnapped while riding in a taxi. The taxi was driven by an Arab Muslim. The Arab Muslim, rather than taking her to the destination that she wanted to go to, took her and incarcerated her and then killed her. The details were released on who did that to her today. No one wants to carry the story. But you have to at least understand the rage, and understand that this is not a cycle of violence, which is how the media wants to present this story. But I can tell you that those five Israelis, and they're young, from 15 to 25, who perpetrated this crime, did immense damage to their brethren, to their country. Because everyone in the media now is saying that this is a cycle of violence that needs to be stopped, and the way to stop it is to give the Palestinians a state of their own. But if you do so, all you're doing is rewarding terrorism. If you do so, you're going to have the demise of Israel. If you do so, then you're appeasing the most heinous behavior on the planet. You're giving in to lies. When you are kind to those who kill, you are unkind to those they have and will kill. And so this incident is also, and this is the biggest issue I have with it, it's such a window on the corruptive mindset of Islam and how it differs from those who are still civilized. In the Muslim territories, there was no hunt. No Muslim went off and said, you know, I'm going to find who kidnapped and killed the three boys, or the, including the girl, the four teenagers, and try to hold them accountable. What they did was a heinous crime. No, in the Muslim world, it wasn't presented as a heinous crime. It was presented as something to be celebrated, particularly by Hamas. And even Fatah, the PLO, would not play any role in trying to capture and find and capture the perpetrators. And once this happened, there were no riots in Israel. There was no throwing of pipe bombs and Molotov cocktails. And yet four of their innocent children were kidnapped and murdered, and one Muslim was kidnapped and murdered. The response is night and day. In one country, you have the leaders celebrating the kidnapping, and then the other, you have the leader condemning it and marshaling all manner of resources to find and arrest and prosecute the perpetrators. In fact, Netanyahu even called the boy's father to apologize for what happened. It is so vitally important that we understand the difference in the mindset caused by Islam. You're seeing it here. Rage, riots, pipe bombs, Molotov cocktails. In fact, of the youth, and I think there are people, I think there's a range of 40 or 50, that were arrested for throwing pipe bombs and Molotov cocktails at police during these riots. Half of them were children. Now, there's one of them that has made the news that has Secretary of State John Kerry, who is disgustingly anti-Semitic, saying that he wants Israel to be accountable and explain why this boy was kicked in the head. And there is a short video, it's about 5 seconds long, that does show Israeli police gotten this youth to the ground, and having them somehow handcuffed him, and then there are two kicks. One, I think, is to the abdomen, and one is to the head. What we aren't shown is what happened previously. We aren't shown what caused the Israelis to respond, which the Israelis say that the boy was throwing pipe bombs and Molotov cocktails trying to kill the police. So if the boy was trying to kill the police by throwing Molotov cocktails and pipe bombs, and the police are restricted to firing non-lethal rubber bullets back at the enraged Muslims, you can see why the police would want to kick that suspect. Now, it's not going to condone the kick. You know, once you have somebody subdued, you ought not kick them. But put yourself in that position. You're ordered to shoot rubber bullets. And you've got enraged boys who are rioting, who are being destructive, who are throwing Molotov cocktails and pipe bombs at you, trying to kill you. How are you going to respond? Now, in this case, this boy is an American. He is in Florida. He's spending his summer vacation over there in Israel. And he decided that with my summer vacation, since he's allegedly a cousin of the boy that was killed, he's going to participate in the riots. Now, saying he's a cousin in the Islamic world is saying that he's an Arab. Their intermarriage there is so grotesque, it means nothing. But why was he protesting? This news release says, and this is by the Washington Post, says that Sunday's action, which was the Israeli arrest, an announcement of an arrest of five Israeli Jews in association with the kidnapping and murder of the Muhammad, the Muslim boy, as well as their announcement that they have determined which Arab Muslim kidnapped and murdered the young girl. This article says that that action could help diffuse what has been seen as a dangerous swelling of Palestinian anger, as if there was such thing as a Palestinian, and as if there has ever been anything that diffuses Muslim anger. With violent protests in East Jerusalem and Arab towns in northern Israel, feeding fears of a building intifada. Just think of that. Arab towns in northern Israel. Arab towns in north, Muslim towns. How is it that these people are mistreated? Are you aware of Jewish towns in Iraq, in Iran, in Lebanon, in Egypt, in Syria, in Saudi Arabia? Are you aware of Jewish towns in any of those places? And yet there's Arab Muslim towns in Israel. And Israel's the one being condemned for being the occupier and being intolerant? And not all the Muslim countries that surround it? What on earth is wrong with us? How could this journalist from the Washington Post not bring that out? But in their own towns, Arab towns, Muslim towns in northern Israel, actually central Israel, they're rioting. It's what Muslims do. They riot. Demonstrators who have called for an uprising, that's what Intifada means, against Israeli occupation. How is Israel occupying East Jerusalem? Jerusalem has been the capital of Yehudah and of an integrated Israel for all of known history. And everything we know about Israel is that it is a Jewish state given to the Jews by God, and that Jerusalem is its capital. It's Yahweh's favorite place on earth. And you want to say that East Jerusalem is being occupied by Jews as if they don't belong there and someone else belongs there? And how could you be that stupid, that ignorant of history, and yet be paid to write for the Washington Post? They have decried a lack of justice and bitterly predicted that the 60-year-old Muhammad Abu Qadir's killers would never face trial. Well, they were wrong, weren't they? They were wrong about that. They were wrong about injustice being perpetrated against them. They're wrong about them being the perpetrators of injustice. They're wrong about the myth of being a Palestinian. They're wrong about the myth of occupation. And how is their occupation when they have Arab Muslim towns inside of Israel? And why wasn't occupation the big cry when Egypt, prior to the 1967 war, when it occupied Gaza? Why wasn't occupation the cry when prior to the 1967 Six-Day War, Jordan occupied the West Bank? Why, when the Kurds really are a legitimate race, the largest race on earth without their own homeland, why is it no one seems to be in an outcry for fair treatment for the Kurds? And then you have a mythical people who have ascribed to themselves a name of an extinct people, and there's this great outcry for them in the West. The only reason for any of these things is that between Christians and atheists and agnostics the world over, those enamored by religion and politics, that there is an inbred hatred of Jews, of Yahweh's chosen people. There's something desperately wrong with most of the world. We'll be back after the news.